It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Okay, your calls in a second. First, here's how you can win free. I made the mistake like a month ago of doing a phrase that pays or some sort of thing, and so Murray now has made me pay.
Mistake is the incorrect term.
Right.
You made the brilliant executive decision to create something more than just tune in at 4:30 to make people tune in at the start of the show and listen longer.
Thank you, Jimmy. You wanted to spice things up, Mike, to give away tickets this Patriots season, and so we've done just that from the phrase that pays, as you mentioned, the Felger and Maz ticket fugitive, to what's been bitten by kittens. We've given the people high-quality Marconi-worthy contest to
win.
Who
is the weasel back?
The ticket weasel. Here we go. What do we got today?
The ticket weasel.
No, this time we're doing it again. If you want Patriots-Cowboys tickets, then you got to be listening around 4:30 for the Felger and Maz Cowboys.
Ooh.
And when you hear the Felger and Maz Cowboys,
yeehaw!
Lasso a bad take, be the first caller into the contest line, and you win. Now, you may be asking, what do the Felger and Maz Cowboys sound like?
I'm glad I'd like to know, Murray.
Here's a little taste.
Tell me, Tony, what do you think about this Patriots running back, Sony Michel?
He sucks. He blows. Hoo-hoo. He stinks.
And there you go. So be listening for the Felger and Maz Cowboys.
Okay, but what do they have to repeat to you?
Like, no, nope, you just got to be listening for them because we'll give you more sounds of the Cowboys, but you got to hear them when you hear them lasso a bad take. You got that? There was a bad take out there in the prairie. Once they lasso it, first caller into the contest line.
Repeats the bad take?
Nope. Just be the first person to hear it. We've got to keep it super easy.
So they don't have to remember anything? There's no...
Nope. At 4:30.
Right around 4:30. Yeah.
So once you hear that take...
I see.
But it's got to be at 4:30.
We're just going to slip it in there.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Even though it's at 4:30.
Slip it right in.
Yep.
Okay. So there'll be a sounder of...
The Felger and Maz Cowboys.
Lassoing a bad take at 4:30. When you hear that, call in for your tickets.
That's correct.
He's awful.
Okay.
Is this cowboy a weasel also?
It's the ticket cowboy weasel.
I reckon he sucks. I reckon he blows. That guy's awful.
Back to your phones as promised. Let's grab David and Natick on the South Side. David. David!
I wanted to agree with you. I absolutely think that last year the Celtics with Danny Ainge, I think with Kyrie, it was just like a virus, like a fungus. Like the team didn't have room to really, the young guys didn't have room to grow. And I think this year I really like the direction that they're going. And I really hope that Kyrie plays this week coming up on Wednesday. And I hope Kawhi Leonard plays tonight. Thank you.
Okay, so I certainly hope Kawhi plays tonight. I'd love to talk about that ball game tomorrow. I do think it's a potential finals preview. In terms of Kyrie, it feels like
he's already setting it up.
He's already building in. So he's sat out the last three with the shoulder.
Yeah, shoulder impingement, I believe, is what they're terming it.
So
brain impingement.
It's a week from tonight, right?
Correct.
I believe that's right. Yep.
Week from tonight, he's already laying the groundwork.
I want him to play.
You ain't gonna see little fella.
You remember the history of the return to Cleveland? He only played there once as a member of the Celtics, and that was the night that Gordon Hayward got hurt.
But I can't help but do my thing here. I'm sorry. You're not going to boo the guy that brought him in here. You're not going to boo the guy that sent a lottery pick to bring that a-hole in here. You're not going to boo the guy that had him on the team and still wanted him on the team. And if Kyrie were still here, would Brown be second in touches? And I'm sorry, Brown fifth in touches and Tatum in second in touches? And would these two guys have made this jump if Kyrie was still here?
Probably not.
So, no, because they'd be in New Orleans because Kyrie Irving would be under a new contract and the Celtics would have Anthony Davis.
Okay, so I'm not sure about that. Maybe. But all I'm saying is let's just keep it real about who wanted the guy, who brought the guy in here, and, you know, what Ainge really wanted for the direction of the team. This was not his first option. But it's, you know, it's worked out for him. Bobby.
Go ahead.
No, okay, Bobby in Arlington. Hi.
Hey, yeah, the thing that's, you know, doesn't really make sense for this is that Danny tried to do both things. He tried to have, you know, high-end talent veterans to go and win a championship and also bring along high-end lottery picks that projected to be that.
It's right.
And ultimately, that's never going to work. It's just like if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. You have to pick a direction and go with it. But Celtics fans will just, whatever is happening at the time, is they're going to think it's the best possible thing because they loved Kyrie when he was here. They wanted to do that. And now that the young guys are playing well, they love this, and now it's working, and they think that's the right thing.
That's a great call, Bobby. And Celtics fans are, it's hard for them to think the way we think with other teams, which is good pick, bad pick, let's go through it and criticize when it's bad and praise when it's good. They don't really, Celtics fans don't get to that place like we do with the other sports. That's true. But boy, Ainge gets, it's not just locally. I feel like the national media, it just laps it up with Ainge and is really reticent to look at it critically. And, well, that's true. And the thing about trying to have it both ways is an excellent point. And it's one thing, like, we're sort of doing it with Kemba Walker, too. Like, if they really wanted to go young, they would not have Kemba Walker. But if the quote-unquote superstar is conducive to it, if he's a good pro and a selfless guy and is more conducive to bringing along a young player, then that makes sense. Kyrie was not.
Yeah, and look, I'm going to say this.
And I'm sorry, Marcus Morris was not either.
No, definitely not. But if Kyrie weren't there, Marcus Morris wouldn't have been a problem, right? Because he's not a superstar.
I don't know about that. He's got quite a tude.
Yeah, but again, when I say
the ball sticks to him, man.
Okay, but when I say a problem, he wouldn't have undermined the team the way that Kyrie did.
No, no, not the a-hole factor, but from the ball movement and touches factor, sure he would have.
But a guy like that's easy to trade.
Why didn't they trade him?
Okay, you just dump him.
Why didn't they?
So, but Kyrie is tougher because of the talent. So, like, I wonder, and I say, well, wait a minute. There are teams that have had good young players and good veteran players and won championships. Like, but then I think about San Antonio and Kawhi Leonard is picked 15th. Like he didn't come in with the hype of a high pick. Brown and Tatum were high picks. Kyrie was a high pick.
But let's also say that Duncan was not your typical NBA a-hole.
True.
He was a different sort of guy. Quiet and professional. And you know, I think Tony Parker was a real a-hole. And Ginobili as a Euro is sort of a different attitude too. So I think it can work, but you got to have the right vets.
Yes, no question.
And Kyrie was not the right vet.
I also think you have to have the right young guys. Guys who come in knowing
it's
that.
It's true, too, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, knowing that, you know, I was in a high pick. They're not asking me to take this thing over right away.
But that whole thing, Ainge just doesn't care about. He just looks at the pure talent, and he didn't care, again, he doesn't care if you're juggling cats. Well, he didn't care what your attitude is. He's just purely on the talent. I think he puts too much on that. It's a mistake.
I wonder if he still feels the same way.
If he's evolved at all?
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because, again, Kemba Walker's a different kind of player. He's not a real superstar.
Mike and Nashua on Maz's Hall of Fame ballot. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tony, I mostly agreed with you, except for Omar Vizquel's got to get in. The guy was a magician. He's better than Ozzie Smith. Didn't have the PR. Vote him in.
Agreed. So, like, sometimes you just got to use your eyeballs.
And he was a great, great fielder.
Oh! And were his offensive numbers even better than Ozzie Smith?
They were comparable. Yeah, he was a better hitter average-wise, and I think he had more hits, but they both had OPSs under 700.
Yeah, right. So, but they were field first. But, you know, if you still want to call Ozzie Smith the greatest defensive shortstop, you can. Like, he was filthy.
I mean, they were pretty close.
I think Omar was in his class defensively, and the offensive numbers, I thought they were pretty similar.
See, I don't know that I would have voted for Ozzie Smith. Like, I look at that one and I say, okay, he was a great fielder. Don't get me wrong. But ultimately, is that what distinguishes you? Like, and you can do it for a long time. You hit well enough. But I don't know. If Jose Iglesias plays 20 years, we put him in the Hall of Fame?
If he plays defense for 20 years like Ozzie Smith and Omar Vizquel, maybe.
Yeah, see, I don't.
And he hits, like, and he hits commensurate to those guys? Because I think Ozzie Smith's a legit Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, it's okay to, if you, you know.
No, I hear you. You value the defense.
There's pure bashers in there who couldn't play a lick of D.
Sure.
So why can't you have the inverse of that?
You can. You can. Again, I mean, in my mind, you got to be able to do more. Like, but, and I'm not telling you those guys were bums. They were really good players. But Hall of Fame to me is the cream of the crop. Like, my answer on both of those guys would be no.
Doug and Moonsaki, give me a Celtics take.
Yeah, I was, hold on, let me give you all speakerphone. Hi, right, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to do the, I think the Celtics are, they think it, a couple things. They're well coached. I think they can make the finals and everything. Well, I also wanted to touch on Derek Jeter because I've been listening since Scott and Beadle, and that intern said that he's not a Hall of Famer,
yeah.
And he said he's not clutch in the postseason. 158 postseason games, 308 batting average, 200 hits, most all-time, 20 homers and 18 steals with an OPS of 838.
So, okay, yeah, to me he's another eyeball guy. And, if you say that his – Jeter's postseason numbers aren't much different than his regular season numbers. So did he elevate? Is he clutch? You're missing the point. Most people's postseason numbers go down. Okay, if you can put up the same postseason production as you did in the regular season, you're freaking nasty.
His OPS was higher.
Okay, so his actually tended to be higher, but some of the numbers aren't. But all I'm saying is most guys go down in the postseason because the pitching gets better.
Absolutely,
it's obvious.
Tougher competition.
The tough spots get tougher, and the weather gets cold, and all of that. Most numbers go down. His stay the same or go up.
Yeah. Peter's average was 310 and 308. I mean, it didn't change. And his OPS is higher.
It's an eyeball test. I mean, this is a dumb conversation. You can say he's overrated. I think that's fine. But that doesn't mean you suck or that doesn't mean you're not still a Hall of Famer. But you lived it, Red Sox fans. Big Red Sox-Yankees game. Yanks are up to bat and Jeter's at the plate. Did you feel good about the situation or not?
Scared the crap out of you.
You knew he was going to slice one to right field for an RBI single with two strikes, and he just slap one to right and just give the game exactly what it needed.
He was a tough out.
You didn't want to see that guy up.
No, and in the biggest spots, he just had a knack.
You wanted to see A-Rod. You wanted to see Giambi. I mean, you would have taken a lot of guys. You don't want to see Jeter.
No, you wanted no part of him, Murray. I know you didn't either, right?
No,
you scared the crap out of you.
No, good defensively, hit for average. The guy, it's a lock. Again, eyeball test. Like, you can hate him and you have your stupid t-shirts that have him doing sexual acts or whatever, but the guy's a Hall of Famer. He's first ballot.
See, but you know what the problem is? And I heard the intern on the Midday Show, too. I don't know his name. The Jeter's 58th all-time in war.
Oh, there you go. Here we go.
Okay. So now that's high, right? Because how many players have played? But he's not top 20.
Yep.
He's not top 10.
War.
So now all of a sudden he's not a Hall of Famer. Let's not be stupid.
Let's see the defensive thing. He didn't have good range. So his UZR probably isn't great. But again, big game, big spot. The ball's hit to Jeter. Do you think he's going to boot it?
No way.
No.
You thought it's over.
He was an Iceman.
So,
he was unaffected by anything that was going on out there and played at a high level no matter who the opponent was.
It's just an age thing, too. You know, it's like, did you watch it?
Like, yeah, right.
were you there and did you experience it? And so Jeter's a little bit of an eyeball thing, too, or just having been a part of those games. How'd you feel about him when he was in those spots? You feared him. We continue with your thoughts on this. We'll start to mix in some Patriots thoughts as well. And don't forget that the ticket cowboys are lurking out there more right after this.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Here's a second and 10. And that is good for a first. First catch it is for the rookie, Harry. Big-bodied receiver, too.
Well, you know, it's a big-time thing because it's their first-round pick. And if he's able to do that, it opens this up. You know, when Wynn comes back, I mean, New England's going to be fine. Whether they win or lose this game, like, when Wynn gets back, I'm telling you already, they'll be able to run the football again, and they'll have more time in the pocket. But if Harry starts playing well, you've got Sanu playing, this team's going to be real tough to beat again.
All right, start to mix in some Patriots. We'll still take your Celtics calls, still take your Hall of Fame calls. We still have the Ticket Weasel, or the Ticket Cowboys.
The Felger and Maz Cowboys.
Ticket Weasel.
The Felger and Maz Ticket Cowboys to get your free Patriots Cowboys tickets.
You know, why don't we give the people a quick taste again?
Yeah,
they might not know what the... This is what you're going to be like.
Tell me, Maz, what do you make of the gunslinger by way of San Francisco by the name of Jimmy G?
Woohoo, Mike! 17-3 is a starter. He reminds me of Joe. Woohoo!
So there you go. The Ticket Cowboys today.
I reckon.
Patriots Cowboys tickets. But let's mix in a few Patriots items. Maz heard that from Tony Romo and the CBS crew. That was on Harry's first catch, and then Romo starts going off on Wynn. When he comes back, everything's going to be right. And that stood out to you. Why?
Because, again, like talk about the hype that is around these two guys, or this idea that everything's going to be fine when they get back in. And Romo doesn't say if. He says when. He says when Wynn gets back in, they'll be able to run the ball. And when Harry gets up to speed. Like, these are foregone conclusions. To who? Like, I heard this, and so this is, you know, you've made the point that you think that the relationship is not Romo with Brady, it's Romo with Bill.
I think Romo is Bill's guy.
Okay, so if there was a pregame production meeting, which there was, and they're sitting in there, and Bill's telling Romo, or maybe there's a separate conversation, whatever, and Bill's saying to Romo, pumping up Wynn, pumping up Harry, I can't help but wonder if all of it is a message to Brady. That is Bill's way of saying...
Calm down, these guys are going to be good.
Yes.
Or trust them, these guys are going to be good.
Right, or just have faith. Okay? And on some level, I think Bill understands why Tom's frustrated, which is to say that they did make an attempt to go out and get some receivers. It didn't work out, so they had to draft one. And Gronk screwed them over because they could have had Jared Cook and they didn't get him. And the left tackle thing's been a clown show, and then they lost the center. Okay, so, and then Ben Watson gets suspended. And then so all these things happened. Antonio, so he reached out and tried to get Antonio Brown. He got Sanu. And now the message to people like Romo, who put it out there, is we're going to be okay. Wait till these young guys get going. So I'm bottom line, I think Bill is using Romo to get the message out to help appease Tom and keep him on the beam.
But they are putting a lot on this Isaiah Wynn, man.
I mean, how many times did Romo say it during the broadcast?
And the tire pumping on N'Keal Harry after game one. Before everyone looked at the film and realized, oh, he's not open. But the tire pumping on N'Keal Harry from some of the cartel members was like immediate, like, oh my God, the impact on N'Keal Harry. Really? He caught a slant, caught a couple balls. Did he separate? You know, and this was Bedard's big thing. You know, he said he didn't separate the whole game, but even on his catches, someone on his back. So they are putting a lot on these guys. In fact, Bedard was, Big Boy was a little agitated yesterday. He was offended by the premise that Wynn changes everything. It was a big boy yesterday. Go ahead.
Isaiah Wynn coming back. Boy, they're putting a lot on him.
Seriously. He better be a combination of Bruce Armstrong and John Hanna, the way people are thinking about the impact. Is he going to help things? Yes. But there are still a lot of issues. And I don't mean to be a complete downer on the offense. You know, but They need some more. And a left tackle is not going to help that much. I'm sorry. It's just not. And if you're hoping it is, be prepared to be underwhelmed.
A left tackle's just not going to help that much.
It still can't be any worse than Marshall Newhouse, though.
So, go ahead. No, but like, so you can be better at that position. Does that improve the conditions at whole? I mean, is that?
Oh, no. I'm not expecting them to put up like 30 points now, though.
A little bit it does, but the point is, they're still going to have trouble running between the tackles. I mean, you know, again, if you're talking about now,
if you could only have one of these two, who would you take? Isaiah Wynn or Antonio Brown?
Oh, Wynn.
I lean Wynn there.
Take out the a-hole factor. So generic.
I'll take the better talent, which is Brown.
Player X at wideout. Would you rather have another big, talented wide receiver or a legit left tackle?
Legit left tackle. Brady's taken an absolute beating. I think this is maybe the main reason he's been so pissy lately.
I mean, if you tell me that Wynn is going to be what Trent Brown was last year, I'll take Trent Brown.
So that's better. Yeah, Trent Brown or... I wish I could give you someone other than Antonio Brown. But, I mean, you see my point.
Yeah, so the thing that's starting to bug me about Wynn is that the way Romo talked about him, Brady talked about him in his interview with Jim Gray, and he used the word trust.
So let's do that. Here's Gray. We'll take out the question today. We usually give you Jim Gray, but here's
God.
Brady was asked about Isaiah Wynn coming back, and here's what Brady said.
I hope so, and I would love to see those guys really step into the role, and I think they're both excited. It was Nikhil's first game yesterday, and you know he learned a lot from yesterday. It's you know going from college and moving into pro football is a different level of competition, and Isaiah's you know proven to his teammates that he can be trusted. You know, we'll see what happens this week with his availability, but I know he's been working hard, and you know, hopefully all of us can come together as a unit, understand the things that we need to do better, and work on them and get better at them and be more difficult to defend the next time we take the field.
Okay, so Brady's saying Wynn's earned the trust of his teammates.
Yeah, Isaiah's proven to his teammates that he can be trusted.
Isaiah's, you know, proven to his teammates that he can be trusted.
How? Like where? When? Two games? Like, I heard that and I went, whoa.
It's just sort
of all the people.
But I combine the two. Harry, Brady's assessment is he learned a lot. You know, which is, when you think about it, what are you really saying there? That he was...
Long way to go.
Yeah, long way to go, not ready for it, et cetera. And we'll play some Josh McDaniels sound coming up. Well, I think they're all sort of, if not down on N'Keal Harry, but very frank about his development, which is slow, or he's not there, or whatever. But so Brady's assessment of Harry is he learned a lot in game one, but when... He's proven to his teammates that we can trust him. So I sort of is that a statement about N'Keal Harry that we don't trust him?
Well, so look, I think yes, and I also think maybe it tells you that Brady in some ways wants Wynn back more than he wants Harry back, or thinks Wynn can have more of a difference because he's worried about his blind side. So I just found it interesting that he would say he's proven to his teammates that he can be trusted, and you know this is a guy who you basically have to tie him down and force him to work with a young receiver. Now he's got a left tackle that's been there two games, 82 snaps or whatever the hell it is that he's played in his career. And now he can be trusted? Where's that coming from? When he said that in that interview with Gray, I was like borderline shocked by that.
So close the loop on your conspiracy.
I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I don't know what it is. I'm searching for that.
I'm telling you what I think it is. I think he said it right after he talked about Harry.
So it's more of an indictment on Harry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. Because Bill's pumping the Isaiah Wynn thing. And is Brady going to be that eager to, oh, okay, Bill, everything's going to be great when the rookie,
young
left tackle comes back. That's not what Brady, he's not helping Bill pump the tire. Because I think Bill's putting out there that we'll be fine when Wynn gets back. And I think Brady would be reluctant to take that cheese. But I do think Brady would be more willing to sort of compare and contrast the two young guys. And I think the thing about Wynn was a statement on Harry.
Yeah, you're probably right. Again, I'm not telling you I wasn't drawing comparison between what Romo said and what Brady said. I'm just telling you that everybody's pumping up Isaiah Wynn. Two games. He's played two effing games.
Well, but Bedard's right. He better be good for all the talk.
I mean, really, all of a sudden you get Anthony Munoz playing left tackle?
Okay, Celtics to open Maz's Hall of Fame ballot. So I'm mixing some Patriots stuff. I'll even give you a Bruins minute that comes your way right after the update. So don't go anywhere.
playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
The Devils control the puck in their own zone with six. And behind the net, the Devils just content to let the time remaining wind off the clock. A workmanlike victory for the Boston Bruins here today in New Jersey. Two from Pasternak, two from Grizzlick. Rask the win, and the Bruins improving to 13-3-5 overall.
All right, here's your Bruins minute. I think overall, I'm still sort of pleased with their year. I think they've steadied themselves nicely. Weren't you expecting, haven't we been expecting the whole time for them to hit a wall?
Yes. Bubble? I thought they did in that little skid, but it was shorter than I thought it would.
Exactly. So I thought, you know, or we thought it was coming, right? The hangover, the bubble bursting, the hitting the wall, that thing, to start the year. Okay, it didn't. They came out gangbusters, best team in the league. All right, then you get to November. Their studies have shown, the team has done studies on this, and the research has shown that actually catches up to you in the second month, not the first, going all the way to the cup finals and then losing. And so their history shows that it's actually November. Okay, so then they get to November, and they have a couple really bad results. Ooh. You know, they lose four straight for the first time in a couple of years. They blow a 4-0 lead to Florida, and it's like, okay, here it is. Bubble burst, hits the wall, and now, you know, now what are we looking at? Well, over the weekend, they go into Toronto and win. And then I think they show well against the Capitals on Saturday.
Agreed.
They blow another lead, but Halak was great. They almost stole 2 points against the best team in the conference and a nemesis of theirs. And you know, as best as they could with their injuries and Bergeron being out and whatnot, went toe-to-toe or, you know, hung in there and was a minute away from getting 2 points out of it. And that was Saturday. And then last night they blow doors in New Jersey.
And they've given up 5 goals in those 3 games.
Very good. Nice. So it's sort of like, well, if that bubble bursting or the wall hitting constitutes that little blip there, like, that's pretty good. That's better than I would have expected.
No, that's really good. And you know what? I give Cassidy credit on this one because after that game against Florida, he aired him out a little bit. I mean, if you remember his post-game comments, you know, we get our first guy, our first line out there, guys peeled off, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, he went on, there was poor defensive structure on our part. If you remember all those comments that he made, to me, he called him out.
Well, let me call him out. Because who he was talking about losing defensive structure and peeling off were Marchand and Pasternak.
I know where you're going with this.
Then you get to the final minute against Washington, and who's on the ice?
Same guys.
And this is, I was going to demand, I still demand it. Ty Anderson, Bob Beers, someone. And I ain't going to do it. But someone, would you please ask Bruce, the coach, about this? Because now I am curious. Marchand, fine. He's a penalty killer. He's generally a good two-way player. I think he's developed a lot of bad habits.
He has, but he's a good puck battler.
And fine. Okay, Marchand out there in that moment, fine. Why is David Pasternak out on the ice with a minute to go and a goal lead Well, why is he out there, Bruce? And to me, there's one acceptable answer, and that is he's one of our best players, and we want him to develop that part. This is part of his development, is the answer. We're developing him. So we may take a hit in the short term as he learns his way, but we want him to learn his way because we think he's ultimately going to be our best two-way player and blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. Anything short of that? Are you just not paying attention? Pastrnak still sucks in his own end. He blows. Offensively, he's like gone to the next level.
He's ridiculous.
He's a freaking gunner. I thought his goal from the blue line last night was just a stinking laser.
It wasn't just hard, it was accurate.
It was through bodies and everything, and so I know it, but you just don't score from out there clean like he did.
And not up high.
Right, upper corner, I was going to say. Right, you put it in the upper corner from 60 feet or whatever that is. Yikes, is he become an offensive just force. But defensively, he blows. So what are you doing with a minute left putting David? So as much as Cassidy got on the guys, how about your... So Bergeron was out in that Washington game. He put... And he's been playing Krejci with the erections. But in that last minute, he had Corrali out there. So he's processing that. Last minute, I want a Corrali out there, not a Krejci. Then why aren't you processing for instead of Pastrnak? That's where you want to see Denton Heinen or Wagner or even Charlie Coyle, who battles well in his own end and gets, you know. But why is David Pastrnak still out there in those situations? That frustrates me.
No, the only answer is that you know, they want him to, they're still trying to help him grow as a player.
Two other quick notes. Here's one. David Krejci, two helpers last night. The one that he got where he won a little board battle and started the breakout with a little redirect off of the board in his ends was a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
It was really a pretty play. And then, you know, Pastrnak and Marchand did their thing with the Pastrnak one-timer.
That thing was a great play all the way around.
A great, you know, 90-foot goal.
Yeah, because, again, Krejci with the sort of subtle play, and then Marchand made good reads. Pastrnak made a good read, stopped, and went back to the top of the faceoff circle, and Marchand saw him.
Okay, and on Grezlik's first goal, Krejci had a great behind-the-back, you know, cross seam to the blue line. Brilliant. Two great plays. Krejci, two assists. In his last six games, in his last four games, he's got 6 points and a +8 rating. And in those four games, that coincides with what Bruce first did, was he put Charlie Coyle there with David Krejci for a time. Then Bergeron got hurt, and now Krejci's been playing with Marchand and Pastrnak. And it's sort of like, oh, so if you're saying you give David Krejci good players, he puts up points on the regular? I forgot about that.
This gets back to that whole right wing with Coyle. Like, you know, because at this stage, it's hard to think they're going to move Pastrnak off that line as much as I would like to. And I also wonder whether, you know, I do start to wonder when a guy like Coyle gets in there who's a bigger body and he works with Krejci, maybe Pastrnak and Krejci aren't the best fit together. You know what I mean?
All I'm saying is if you give him legit players, he puts up legit production. And that's just what we're seeing, that little sample. And I think that that's a reminder of what David Krejci can be if he's got the right talent. Coyle is just a natural center. He wants to set guys up. He's not a gunner.
They need a right wing, Mike.
So, you know, Coyle on the right wing doesn't quite work. But I still think it's an upgrade over whatever white right wing du jour they have there with Kuhlman or whoever, the quiet one. I mean, Coyle's a step up in talent. You want to talk about a GM nailing a trade, Charlie Coyle for Ryan Donato. Sweeney hit that one through the roof.
I mean, the last I saw, I think Donato, he had that great start. Remember he had that great start with Minnesota?
Yeah, with last year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And we all went, whoa, like, what's that going to be now?
It was a flash and nothing.
He's done a whole lot of nothing since. Really, I'll look up the exact
19
numbers.
19 games, one goal, two assists, a -1.
Yeah.
Wow. And Coyle, I think, is like, on any given night is your second best player, usually, or third best player. He doesn't put up big numbers, which is still sort of frustrating. But boy, he controls the puck.
It's hard to play against.
He does everything except score. But I just think he's a real factor most nights, most shifts. He's a factor. Good player. So I think he killed that trade. One more quick thing. We had a caller on the line before that said trade Krug. Krug's been hurt. You saw Grezlik last night, two goals, all that skill, trade Krug, you have Grezlik. No. You know why? I'm going for it this year now. Load up. Like, this sort of ties into the original statement, which is if they're really going to have another run here and really legitimately contend again this year,
then you're going to need them both.
then I'm firing all my bullets this year. Because this will officially be it. I thought last year might officially be it. Chara, Bergeron, Krejci, all those guys healthy and in the same lineup and going for the last. I thought last year was it. If they're going to do it one more time, then let's do it one more time and load up.
But if they're short another wing and Grizzlick is, you know, his offensive game has jumped a little bit, doesn't that make Krug a little bit expendable?
Like, I try and figure out another way to do it. I trade a first-round pick. I do something else. He's too valuable on the power play. He's become a beast.
He was good last year in the playoffs, too.
He was really good.
I'll tell you what, that second goal by Grizzlick last night, I know everybody's talking about it, so I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Holy crap, did I get a warrior in my pants.
He undressed a Pernell Carl pretty good on that one.
Wow, what a shot. Okay. It was a freaking dart.
There's your Bruins Minute. To your phones on everything. I promise we'll get right to you and more from the Ticket Weasel. Ticket Cowboy right after this.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You've won a championship 6 times, so you know what it takes. Does this team have what you need offensively to go through these last 6 weeks of the season and through the playoffs and possibly a Super Bowl?
You know, that's the question that probably everyone wants to know and tries to predict, but nobody knows at this point which team. There's only one team that's going to be able to reach the ultimate goal. You know, our team's in a decent position, so we're not going to know until we're in that position. Like I said, we're 9-1. We got to play great complementary football. There's certainly things that we need to do better offensively. We need to throw the ball better. We need to run the ball better. We need to just score points. That's the name of the game. So all these things are going to play themselves out. And again, it's not what I think or what I predict or what somebody on TV can predict or what they think or what your parents say or what your kids say. It's really about, you know, the mental toughness of our team to show up and try to improve, get to work, try to evaluate every game in a very, you know, fair way and have enough mental toughness to go out there and try to reach a higher level. And that's what we're going to try to do offensively.
All right, so that's Brady the other day with Jim Gray. And one of the things we'll hit on with Paul Perillo, who's standing by, Patriots.com. He'll join us in our Town Fair Tire Studios.
Boy, Brady loves that mental toughness line, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go.
But, like, you know, do we have the mental toughness to get better? It's almost like he's calling his young guys wussies. Seriously, though, that's what it's like. Yeah. Do you have the courage to come in here and admit your mistakes and admit your flaws? And there's some truth to it. I'm not – but I don't know. He hits that one over the head, doesn't he? He really does. He beats that one to death. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, coming up also with Perillo, Bill Belichick was asked about Antonio Brown today, and he gave an interesting response. You'll hear that response and, of course, our thoughts on it coming up when Paul gets in here. But I promised you calls, and so here they are. Jeff in the car on Maz's Hall of Fame ballot. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good.
So, you know, I have 2 points about the Hall of Fame. First of all,
you know, the idea that Derek Jeter is not a Hall of Famer is ridiculous. You know, I mean, you're absolutely right what you said earlier, Felger, about, you know, just because you're overrated doesn't mean you're not a Hall of Famer.
Correct.
I mean, I think that everybody thinks he's the greatest, you know, he made the greatest play in Major League Baseball history with that friggin' pass to get Giambi at the plate, which if he had just let it go, it would have just gone to the plate and the guy would have been out anyway. But anyway, but what I actually wanted to say was this. I think now that they've made the voting public, I believe that if you get 95% of the vote or better, that whoever didn't vote for you loses their vote moving forward. Huh. I think if it's that high of a vote, I think you should lose your vote. I don't think that you can argue with 95, 96% and say that a guy doesn't deserve to get in. Because you know that Ken Griffey Jr. guy should never be able to vote again. And this whole idea that, oh, he can't be unanimous. Derek Jeter can be unanimous. Everybody that has any brain in their head knows Jeter should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't want to sit here and argue statistics. He should be in the Hall.
Okay, Jeff, I'm with you. Except you do understand that sometimes genius does walk alone.
Yeah, see, I disagree with the premise that, you know, if you're in the 5%, you should be kicked out. No, sometimes those are the guys that really see it right.
You should be kicked out if you are voting for a reason that's not an official criteria like unanimous ballot.
Right, right. I mean, that's stupid, you know. But if you look at it and say, well, no, you know, I mean, and the Hall of Fame is sort of a different one. But I think sometimes the dissenting opinions are the most meaningful ones.
Oh. Believe me.
Like, really, you know, when you, and I, you know, I don't want to get into like political things and things of the like, but there are, you know, there were lots of people that believe 90% one way. Go back to the
consensus is often wrong. Genius walks alone.
Go to the market crash in 2008.
Yes.
How many people printed the short?
A few people did very well with it. So, right. So I don't agree with just because you're in the minority, no. And you know, even if you're the strong minority, no. If you tell me I'm not voting for a guy because there's never been a unanimous guy,
that's stupid.
Then
reason.
That's stupid. Or if you say I'm not going to vote for someone because he's a designated hitter, I think that's more, you know, there's no rule that says you shouldn't vote for a designated hitter.
Correct.
Okay, so like those things I think are more to the bone. Let's grab Mike in Danvers on the Celtics. Hi, Mike.
Hey guys, how are you? Good. Great show to the great show. Listen. The thing with Kyrie, if Kyrie had played like how Kemba's playing this year, the team would have been fine. They would have been fine. They would have won a lot of games. But Kyrie can't do that.
He doesn't have He doesn't have the makeup to do that.
He can't do it. So in that case, it was a mistake for Ainge to bring him in, if you look at it that way.
That's all.
Now, I want to make a point. Now, if you're going to get rid of Horford and you're going to get rid of Morris, then you got to keep Baines. I just, how much money would they have to have paid Baines if they kept him?
Okay, so
$5 million.
Letting Aaron Baines go, is that a fair second guess?
Yes and no.
Would he fit on this team?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. They need a big guy who can, you know, at least put a body in the paint.
Why'd they let, what? It was a trade, right?
Yeah, I think they needed the cap space to sign Kemba.
So it was right at that time.
I think so.
It was all part of that move.
Yeah, again, I thought I read that or heard that somewhere. I might be wrong.
It's accurate.
But my recollection was they had to do that in order to be able to sign Kemba. So in which case, you do it. You do it. Okay. I mean, again, you know, you take the scorer every time, and then you try to replicate what the big guy can give you.
By the way, tonight, Kawhi Leonard is going to play. So,
good.
Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and the Celtics, who are now, they have the guy who's out in Gordon Hayward, but still, good matchup. Good ball game. It's on NBC Sports Boston and nationally on ESPN locally here, too. It's one of those split games.
And this is a good test for the young guys, especially given that Hayward's out.
Great test for the team. Great test. Celtics
Randy and Max tonight as well.
I'm sorry. On 98 on the radio side, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Pre-game starts at 10 o'clock here on the radio.
That's a good one to stay up for if you're going to stay up for West Coast basketball.
This is the favorite in the West. I still think the Clippers are the favorite in the West, even though they're like the 5 seed right now, against the number one team in the East record-wise. That is a potential finals matchup. And so everyone should play who can play.
I couldn't agree more. And you know what? I was thinking about this. Boy, the Clippers are being cavalier about the regular season. Then I thought about it.
Do you know why?
Yeah, I know why. Hold on. Because they believe they can beat everybody on the road except for the Lakers, and they're going to be the road team whether they're the home team or not.
If they're the 2 seed, it's the...
They're in the same building either way.
And you know what? The Lakers are in the same spot.
Yeah.
Talk about the most meaningless 1-2 battle in the history of the NBA.
Correct. Like, it really, it doesn't matter where they finish relative to one another. Because whenever they play, the Lakers are going to have the crowd.
Right, but no one
and they will all beat everyone else on the road.
But no one else has to travel. They all sleep in their same bed. It just doesn't, the 1-2 doesn't matter in that conference.
It doesn't.
All right, so we can continue with that. Continue with all your thoughts. Perillo, standing by. More from the Ticket Weasel. Dude, you have another one right here?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, let's give the people another taste, because you got to be listening for the Felger and Maz Cowboys. Lasso a bad take. You'd be the first caller into the contest line. You win at 4:30. But if you don't know what they sound like, here we go again.
4 o'clock on a Wednesday during football season, Tony. You know what that means.
Woo-hoo, sure do, Mike. Waddle on in here, Paul Perillo. We got enough beef, beans, and biscuits in here for you, fella. Come on. Woo-hoo.
He's going to be listening for them lasso a bad take, though, right around 4:30.
You know, his new nickname is Paul. That's Paul Sarsaparilla.
Free, the bottom line, free Patriots Cowboys tickets at 4:30. Okay, that's the key. Stay tuned for that. And Prilla.
I meant his nickname is Sass.
No, I got it.
Sassafras.
90 Sassafras. Seconds, no commercials, just an update. And Belichick's interesting response to the Antonio Brown situation next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.